Hello and welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. In this episode 116, I am joined by Hazel Brown for a conversation around feminism and how she believes it is needed more now than ever. This is a probably quite controversial conversation, and Hazel was glad to find a place to have it. And so much honesty in this conversation, so much passion in this conversation, and things that I didn't actually even know in this conversation. So I hope that you enjoy it. Hazel, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
My pleasure.
Tell us a bit about you.
Okay, well, I live in the west coast of Scotland, and I work as a senior position in the social care in the third sector. And I have two grown-up daughters who don't live with me. I live at home with my two dogs and my cat. And I am quite happy to talk about, I've got some quite strong views about women and women in the workplace and women in the world and what's happening to feminism just now.
Oh, great. And we met through another avenue. And when I told you about this podcast, that's what you told me. You had some big views. So I'm really excited, Hazel, to know. What do you know for sure?
What I know for sure is that we haven't needed feminism as much as we need it now, which is something that amazes me when I think of, I would always have considered myself a feminist, but I think of what's happening in the world now to women, violence against women and girls and things like that. And it's shocking, and we need to reinvigorate feminism again, which is such a shame.
Uh-huh. Because, and I'm not aging you because I wouldn't want to age anyone, but given that I think you're a wee bit older than me, feminism was such a big thing, wasn't it, as we were coming through our lives, mm-hmm. as we were young women coming through the world. I think maybe actually for like my older sisters, it was bigger for them than it was for me. Is that because I followed in their footsteps? Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. But does it feel like you, like we've gone back in ourselves? And why do you think that?
It's definitely gone back on itself. I mean, you can't open the newspapers today or watch the news or read social media channels about this kind of erosion of women's rights, of women's rights to have their safe spaces, and trans people coming into sport, biological men competing against women. And that's kind of been growing really over sort of the last 5 to 10 years under the gender ideology kind of umbrella. Where anyone can be what they want to be, and you can identify as anything you want, and that's fine. I completely agree with that. Identify whatever you want. But there's a simple fact in life that women have been discriminated against for a millennia based on their biological sex. And I don't know where it started or how it started, but, you know, the things about the changes to the Gender Recognition Act where, you know, about self-identification, and so anyone can say, it hardly ever goes the other way. I'm a woman, so I'm going to use a woman's toilets, or I'm going to, I want to be in a woman's prison and things like that. And it's just like, it seems like madness that it's controversial to say a man can't be a woman. You know, and women need safe spaces. Women campaigned from the suffragettes to have safe spaces and have their own rights. And now if you can't identify what a woman is, how can you have rights for this group of people who anyone can identify into? It's it's insane.
And so I think actually to take a step back, how do you define what feminism means to you?
It's about fighting for the rights of women and girls. So there's equality and things like that, but it's about safety and security and equality for women and girls. It's quite simple. I don't know why people make it complicated. And it's quite simple to say what a woman is. And I, even just today, I was watching someone being asked in an American Senate about, you know, what is a woman? They're saying, well, I'm not a biologist. I can't tell you. We've known what a woman is forever. What was your mum? Well, I would say that view, you know, you get called a transphobe now, but we've got politicians, Sir Keir Starmer, you know, people saying, what's a woman? And they say, well, that's a very difficult question to answer. It's not a difficult question to answer. Half the population, it's not a difficult question to answer. It's, uh-huh. Yeah.
And how do you feel, therefore, does that affect you and your life, or do you feel you're speaking for something, you're speaking for your sex, you're speaking for women, or do you feel it does directly impact in your life?
Well, I mean, I haven't come into a situation where I've, you know, been in changing rooms or been in what I would consider to be a single sex space and find that there's somebody who's not a woman in there. But it, well, apart from the fact on a personal level, it makes me very angry, obviously, because we have our rights. But it's more about a concern for what does that mean around about safeguarding, you know, and people will say to you, well, are you saying that all trans people are a threat? Of course, not saying all trans people are a threat, not saying all men are a threat, but violence against women and girls, male violence against women and girls is a recognised fact. And we don't know who's a predator and who's not a predator. You know, so there's safe spaces for women and girls for a reason, to protect us from violence from men. And why should that be difficult to understand? Why do we have to give our rights away?
And what are you thinking about the gender recognition bill that's coming up soon in the Scottish Parliament?
I think it raises all sorts of safeguarding issues again, because it's not an anti-trans thing. But if you talk to people who believe in the gender ideology, people on the street think a trans person is generally, they think it's a man who wants to be a woman who maybe goes through sexual reassignment surgery. That's it. But actually, only trans now means anything that I can. I'm queer or I'm non-binary. You know, what do these things, what do they mean? You know, so it's just leaving, it's the safeguarding issues are huge. We've all read about these child abuse scandals, and we know that predators will do anything to get to vulnerable people. And this takes away some of the safeguarding.
So is it that lack of clarity? Because one part of me would think, and my daughters would say this, and I'm imagining your daughters are perhaps similar, that as educated white women living in the Western world with free access to healthcare, that we're at the very top of the bundle when it comes to women in the world, and we are the least oppressed, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you put trans women, I mean, the average life expectancy of a trans woman is horrifically low. I don't know what it actually is, but I know it's horrifically low.
And if Do you know? And where does that fact come from?
Well, it comes from a teenager, quite honestly, Hazel.
Just checking there.
You're quite right. Fact check me. But if we assume that if it's trans women who are in a more traditional sense, trans women, have you got an issue with that? Or is it the lack of clarity on anybody can say, I am non-binary or I love as a woman?
It's the lack of clarity, you know, that this massive trans umbrella that then leaves it open for people who are, you know, are not genuine trans people to exploit. So you get male sex offenders who are now saying, I am a woman, and they get housed in the female estate with some of the most vulnerable women, not a white educated middle-class woman like myself, but women who probably had a lifetime of abuse from men. And then you get fully intact males who are then put into women's prisons, you know, because they don't think it's safe for the men's prisons. But it's not safe for the women now. You know, a lot of these are sex offenders. And there was a study very recently that showed that when these guys then came out of the women's prisons, they detransitioned. They started identifying as men again. So, you know, we need to be protecting these really, really vulnerable people.
I mean, it just so often in the world, I think, in all parts of my life, in all parts of the work I do, thank God I'm not the boss. I do think that quite often. Thank God I'm just the boss of me and my family, you know, that way. And I do think, how do you even begin to navigate this as a country, as a society, about what you do and what's right to do? So have you got any thoughts? You know, you, and as you say, in social care, you have a big job and have a lot of things to do and a lot of people you have responsibility for. How do you start to fix this so that the right thing is being done? Because I think ultimately, I think that trans women, in the traditional sense of that, as a deserve to be represented and deserve to be able to identify as a woman. How do you find the lines where you say, right, no, you can't say it and you can? You know, I mean, have you any thoughts on that?
It's a really difficult one there, isn't it? And again, I'm not against, you know, everybody deserves to be treated with respect and access to healthcare and identify how they want to identify. But there is something about, I think, that Joe Public, and I don't mean to sound this patronisingly, but like I say, Joe Public's idea of a trans woman is somebody who's about to or has gone through gender reassignment and is living their life as a woman. If people understood that actually, the kind of new legislation, the new view that it can be anybody. So For instance, the latest thing about Emily Bridges, who's the cyclist who, you know, a couple of weeks ago was competing as a man and now has decided they're identifying as a woman and now are competing against women. And so I think what changes it is the general public waking up to saying, so hold on a minute, this doesn't make any sense to me. What they thought traditionally was what trans meant, as opposed to what trans means now under this very broad umbrella. No, that can't be right. So what's the point in women competing? Because these men are biologically faster and stronger and always will be, you know. So I think the way to change it is the general public waking up. So now there's a big campaign at the moment from various women's rights groups about, you know, no X if you don't recognise my sex. You know, so ask your MP, wherever their local elections are, tell me what a woman is. If you can't tell me what a woman is, I'm not going to vote for you. So women voting, using that power and that strength. But I think generally that the general public is waking up to it again. And then there's the other trans swimmer in America, Leah Thomas, again, with all the biological abilities of a male who now identifies female, and is cleaning up, is beating every woman swimmer in the States. So what's the point in women's sports? He's taking estrogen and things like that. But he's still a fully intact male. He's still gone through puberty. He still has all the advantages, physical advantages of a male having gone through puberty.
Do you think a part of the reason that we are having the trouble perhaps that we're having is because people just don't know what to think about it? So I take myself as a pretty clever, very liberal woman. I can understand most things. I can have an opinion on most things. I sometimes don't want to talk in this arena because I'm scared that what I say will be misconstrued or that I'll get it wrong and I'll cause an offence I never meant to cause. Do you think people are silenced because it's such muddy water?
I think people are silenced because there's a degree of bullying going on. You know, who are these old dinosaur feminists in their 50s who are shouting about safeguarding and rights? These should not be controversial views, you know. So I think it's kind of bullying going. And I understand why people don't want to say anything. And it is one of those things that maybe if you haven't done a deep dive into it to read about it and see what's happening here and in the States and in Canada, once you start reading it, you start thinking, oh my God, this is like, it's like women's rights have lasted for 30 seconds and now men are coming back in and taking our rights away. It's maybe I've done too much of a deep dive into it. But yeah, I people are bullied into not saying anything. People have lost their jobs for saying they believe in biological sex. As a result, there have been tribunal hearings now which actually say being gender critical, the belief that sex is immutable is now a protected characteristic. How mad is that? That needs to be a protected characteristic. It's insane.
And so how do you feel that you're going, what's next for you then? What's next for you when it comes to this dialogue, what's going on in the world? You've got a very strong opinion on it. You're obviously happy to share it because here you are sharing it. So what's next for you in terms of what you can do, what you call another feminists to do, I suppose, as well?
It is about sharing it and trying to get people to understand the implications, this very serious implications of what's going on. So all I can do is try and spread that message. So I've got two daughters. My older one is completely on board with this. And there's a reason why, because she used to work in Westminster and dealt with gender violence and conflict. So, gender violence and conflict, you know, Russian soldiers know what a woman is. And a Ukrainian woman can't say, I am identifying as a man, please don't rape me. So she knows. My younger daughter is much more, but a lot of younger women are very liberal feminist and be kind, because that's always a message to women. Be kind, don't judge, or just let people in. Yeah, sorry, when you get to my age, I'm sick of all that. No, I'm not going to be kind anymore. So I talk to people whenever I can. In fact, I probably bore them and say, you know, these are the dangers. These are the safeguarding risks. All I'm concerned is safeguarding women and girls. That's what's important to me.
And I love what you said there. When you get to this age, when I started this podcast, 115 podcasts, 116 podcasts down, is there going to be something that all women know the same for sure? And there's not. But if there is anything, it's about a confidence that comes to women as they get older and they sort of wish they had it when they were younger. Mm-hmm. So you said there, when you get to this age, how does it feel to be this age and be able to hold your opinions much more strongly than you perhaps did in the past.
Oh, it's very liberating. Yeah, it is great. It's, and that's not just about my age, I suppose. There's something about the position I've got in the seniority, which allows me to, which also means I don't forget that there are people who are maybe younger and not as confident and not in a senior position like me, who actually think, I better not, like you were saying, I better not say anything. Might muddy the waters. I might say the wrong thing or offend somebody. So there's a luxury that comes with both age and position, which I have. So, and not comparing myself to J.K. Rowling by any means, but she's very vocal in this, isn't she? And people say, well, she can't be because she's rich. Well, of course she is. She's a woman and she understands. And actually she can have a voice and not get cancelled, not lose her job and not have fear of speaking out because she has that voice and she uses it. So,
Do you applaud what J.K. Rowling has been doing?
I absolutely do. And actually, if you say to people, if people say she's a transphobe and she's spreading hate, read what she's written. There's nowhere she said anything where she says, I'll stand with my trans sisters and I'll fight for your rights and things like that. But also, primarily, I want the rights of biological women and girls to be safeguarded. So she's not said anything transphobic. And yet the level of vile and hatred and threats and things that she gets on Twitter, you know, and rape threats. And it's just like, God, these people really hate women speaking out.
And that sort of brings us back full circle, doesn't it, to about feminism, because it doesn't take much for how admired was J.K. Rowling for how long, as a society, as a world, we have made her very, very wealthy and given her the position that she has got and loved everything that she has done. But it literally takes a couple of tweets for predominantly the patriarchy to tear her back down again.
Absolutely.
Standing aback and saying that's okay, patriarchy could come for you next, come for me next, comes for whoever it wants, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And that's what this is all about. Yeah. So, it's certainly not dead, the patriarchy. So, need to keep fighting.
We certainly do. Thank you so much, Hazel, for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to rant.
Hello and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud. Again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.